We will resume our committee meetings and go directly to Student Affairs Committee. Regent Thomas.
Thank you, Chair Bell. We have one informational item on the agenda today under Student Affairs, and I'm going to ask Dr. Budman to introduce that.
Thank you, Chair Thomas, and thank you, Board. This is an opportunity today to showcase an exceptional program of Western Kentucky University, truly, and I'll have more comment about that. But what I'd like to do today is introduce to you the Office of Scholars Development and the students of the Gilman Scholarship Program. And so today I have the opportunity to welcome these wonderful students to the board meeting, but I'm going to let Lindsay Houches, who's the Assistant Director, Dr. Grimsley, who is the Coordinator of International Scholarships, introduce the program to you and talk a little bit more about Office of Scholarship Development and the Gilman Scholarship Program. So thank you so much for being with us, and I turn it over to you.
Excellent. I'm going to take this make more room for yourself. Then we can spread out of it. Doesn't matter. And I do want to let you know we have one more student who might slide in. He's hustling down the hill from class. So first I want to say thank you, Dr. Logan, for the invitation to be here. And thank you, I hear, to Dr. Sales for the referral. We're really excited to share more about what we do in the Office of Scholar Development and especially showcase our students' success and even more to come for them. So we can go ahead and advance to this slide. If you're not familiar with our work, like I said, we're the Office of Scholar Development. Most people know us as OSD. And on the next slide, you'll see that we're just a three-person team. And that three-person team serves any WKU student who's interested in working with us. We do a lot of active recruitment. We are administratively housed within the McGurin Honors College, but we serve students through and through campus, and our data really shows that as well. So as you heard, we have Dr. Grimsley with us here today. We also have one more team member, Dr. Will Randolph, he just got a promotion, Will Randolph, who is now collaborating on a two-person team that serves the Gilman Scholarship. So on the next slide, I want to emphasize, I'm kind of on this personal mission to help people understand what we do in OSD. Too often, students especially hear scholar, and they think, that's not me. We're emphasizing the development of students into scholars, really encouraging that independent pursuit of their interests and professional goals. So on the next slide, you'll see what we're doing is we're actually advising them toward nationally competitive scholarships. You may have heard of scholarships like the Fulbright program, maybe the Rhodes Scholarship, right? The world's most competitive scholarship. And we have a portfolio of prioritized scholarships like this, often funded by the federal government, and these help students access opportunities that are academic extras. They're not included in their tuition, but we know that they are helpful in advancing these students' goals. Whether it's study abroad, research, or postgraduate study and more, there's something for every student on our campus. So we've had a lot of success with this, as you'll see on the next slide. We're making more possible for students. We're doing that by really empowering those students. You're going to hear those stories here today. And as a result, we're seeing expanded pathways for these students. They're learning that more is possible than they even knew they might pursue. And they're seeing that there are more career options to do the work that excites them and that can make an impact in our society than they ever thought possible. So moving on, the Gilman Scholarship is what you're going to hear about today. Every student who earns a Gilman Scholarship is Pell eligible, and they're using that scholarship to earn credit toward their academic degree in another country. So this is keeping them on track with their academic goals and expanding the experience of their undergraduate career. And in the process, we're broadening the student population that is able to study abroad. We're seeing increased diversity here on our campus and nationwide. You can imagine there are a lot of benefits of that representation in this group. So we're getting pretty good at this, if I can humbly say so. We have now had 291 students recognized as Gilman Scholars. And that's of all time. That when you think about this, every student is earning something like $5,000 toward their study abroad goals. And then we combine that to a whopping $1.2 million. We're celebrating that we've just surpassed the million-dollar milestone. In fact, you might see a press release circulating about that later today. So, as I said, we're figuring this scholarship out, and we're seeing a lot of success. We're seeing that this population is growing on our campus. Nationally, about 20% of applicants are selected for the scholarship. Here at WKU, of all time, that's 50%. We're really proud of that. And then in the past year alone, you can see that selection rate is continuing to climb. 82% of applicants in the past academic year were selected. I'm also happy to share, you're going to hear from two representatives of our most recent application cycle. And in that application cycle, we had 31 Gilman Scholars selected in just one cycle alone. And then even more who were named alternates that we're crossing our fingers for. Okay, so now what you really want to hear is about our student experiences. So the slides are going to give you a preview of some of the highlights of the students' experiences, but their voices are the most important in this equation. So I want to turn it over to Shui, who's going to take it from here and tell you more.
Hi, everyone. It's an honor to be here and to get to share my experience, like Lindsay mentioned. My name is Shui Nguyen. So originally, I'd like to kind of give you a little bit of background of where I'm from. I'm obviously not born in America, but that's okay because I love it here. I was raised in Opyang, which is a refugee camp located on the borders of Myanmar and Thailand. And in 2008, I came to America through the UN Refugee Resettlement Program. Back then, I was only 7 years old. But now that when people ask me, where are you from? I proudly say that I'm from Bowling, Kentucky. In fact, I call this my hometown. So just a little bit, I am a Gilman Scholar that was awarded to study in Seoul, South Korea, summer of 2022 at Hanyang University. So while I was abroad, one thing that I was really looking forward to seeing was the public health aspects of things. One thing that really fascinated and resonated with me was the investment that South Korea was putting into its population. This, for example, one thing that I saw was just effective transportation, something very simple yet critical for healthcare access. This was something that I was able to see in a first impression viewpoint, but also as someone that who aspires to work for the World Health Organization, it's something, a viewpoint that I really needed to see. But also that brought light to how much our Western world needs to focus more on population health and aim towards that health equity. Furthermore, I can only say that my work to study in South Korea was only possible because OSD invested their time in me. Oftentimes, OSD is referred to as the organization that helps students fund their study abroad experience or maybe promote study abroad. While those two terms are very relevant to what they do, it's much more than that. In fact, I used to be an ESL student, which stands for English as a second language. English was not my second language, it was my third. But I will say that I do struggle with English. In fact, my strongest weakness is writing. So as you can see, I was a little taken back when I was applying to the scholarship because I was just like, is it even ideal for someone like me who's very weak in writing? When I was working with Ms. Lindsay Houchin over here, that approach completely just flew in the back of my mind. It wasn't even a part of it because we were taking this step by step. It was a story that I was writing embedded with goals. To what I wanted to become and where I wanted to see myself. And eventually, through the revision process, we ended up with a three excellent, nationally competitive essay, well-composed, something that I never thought I was able to come out with, but I was able to do it because of Ms. Lindsay Houchin. But furthermore, I wanted to say that my journey with Gilman wasn't just one thing that I worked with OSD. In fact, it opened doors to many other opportunities. For example, I am looking to work with Dr. Grimsley on my Fulbright research scholarship, which is coming up very shortly, but also currently I'm working with Mr. Will Randolph on my Charles B. Rangel, and I'm super, super excited to see how that turns out and hopefully get selected for that process. In addition to that, I would also like to say that I made a dear friend while working with OSD. Again, I really do like to share Ms. Lindsay Houchin again because she's just a phenomenal person. She, in fact, recommended Spirit Masters to me, helped me prep for it, and I'm proud to say that today I am happy to serve as a Spirit Master promoting WKU because it really did invest in me.
But furthermore, because of OSD, I'm able to go out to people like me and people within our community and say, OSD helped me through my journey, and now I want you to have a part in it. And I try to promote it as much as I can so other students have the opportunities that I had, if not better. But that's just my story, and there's more.
Woo-hoo. Wow. Anybody that can speak that well is bound to be on the right
way. My name's Ralphie Gardner. I just ran here from Cherry Hall.
I might be honored about this, but I'm from Todd County. I'm one of those students who comes from like a small farm town. I'm a minority student, so often college isn't like a strong opportunity for us. So me to make it to college was like a big thing for me. And then I saw that Honors College is like a good opportunity for me to extend my opportunity. So, my heart's racing from that. OSD was one of those like people I was first introduced to when I came here. Initially, I was an architecture science major, and as you can see, that's a very different than criminology, psychology, and Arabic. So what OSD has shown me is they have the ability to adapt to different situations. Not once people can't make up their mind very easily. So they worked with me from architecture all the way to where I am now. And technically, I won the Gilman twice, because I got a freshman year, and I was supposed to study in the UK for criminology. But after COVID and everything came over, I wasn't actually able to complete that. So after like going through my like skill set, taking classes, reevaluating things, I settled on studying Arabic. And for some reason, I chose one of the hardest languages to learn. Makes sense to me, I guess. But I used that, and I won the Gilman again. So good job, right? Yeah. But I won the Gilman again, and I was able to use that, and in addition to the critical needs language scholarship that comes with the Gilman, to study in Morocco and learn Arabic there. But OSD is one of those people who are willing to work with all your plans and adapt to changes. And I'm one of those students who likes to do applications last minute. So OSD's, or especially Lindsay, she would hound me to do all my work and make sure to email me, make sure I knew what I was doing. But I mean, they took a student who was, you know, kind of like a lazy student, and they kind of polished me into like the student who's, right now I've won a Rainbow Scholarship. I'm going to be a fellow with the Rainbow Program. So that's me working with the State Department. That's like all my dreams coming true through OSD. And oh, I was also a finalist for the Critical Language Scholarship. So, you know, OSD took me, who could barely write an essay, to get a B, and now I'm winning all these like nationally competitive things through OSD. And you know, I'd like to thank them, because you know, none of this would have been possible without them. But you know, I just want to say OSD really like pushes students, gives them direction, and shows them what needs to be done.
Jackson Kitchens. I'm a returning student. I got an associate's previously, went out in the workforce and came back, but I'm also first generation. My parents were in. And I went from my associate's in IT coming back for a major in electrical engineering. I got the Gilman kind of last minute, fortunately. So now I'll be going to Japan this summer. Around the Kyoto area, to take an immersive language course, which I find to be the best way to learn. I've had a lot of setbacks with learning languages, as well as an international communications and leadership course, which I'm hoping will set me up for leadership positions in my future career, and to be a bridge between the cultures, whether that's between floor workers and the Japanese ownership in one of the many companies around here like that, or even to go represent a company in Japan in the future. One of the biggest challenges I know is that in Japan, they are more collectivist, I understand, whereas we're more individualistic here in the U.S. It's just a different paradigm of thinking about how to run things, how to interact with people. But fortunately, between my decision to go come back to school and actually getting back, I took to the road as a truck driver because I needed to save up money to come back. And out there, I met all kinds of different people. We have a lot of subtly different cultures here in the U.S. that most don't think about till you're in it. I've interacted with some of the nicest people, like dock workers up in Michigan, getting advice on like what good winter wear to get, from to like having to deal with the more with like taciturn guards down in like warehouses in Mississippi, trying to get them. They just want you to do paperwork and get out of base. So that, but obviously I can't really truck anymore while I'm in school. So my finances have gone down. As I said, I qualify for Pell now. So I needed aid to study abroad because that's something I've always been interested in doing. I've never been out of the country. I've been as far as the border of Canada, out in Lake Michigan, and then I've been all the way to the shores of the Rio Grande, but I've never actually crossed any of the borders. But when I was applying, I didn't even think that Japan would even be feasible because with engineering, there's not really a lot of STEM courses in study abroad. There's not a lot of STEM courses in study abroad. Most of them were like one or two courses I could take, but they'd be during the fall or winter semester. I'd have to delay my degree. It's not really feasible. I was considering some of the like faculty-led ones that go places in the summer and winter, which still would have been cool, but the Office of Scholar Development found the path for me to go somewhere I've always wanted to go. I'm excited to go. And honestly, I mentioned before, I got accepted kind of last minute. I basically lost hope. I was emailing Lindsay near the end of the acceptance deadline, like, should I start prepping for next year? Should I even bother with other scholarships? Because if I don't get this one, there's a good chance I can't go because of the cost. And then the very last day, January 10th, I got the acceptance, and I got the critical need language one as well. Went from alternate to accepted. And I was just super relieved because I thought all that work would have been wasted that I'd done. But after I get back, being one of the few STEM students represented at study abroad, I'm hoping to kind of model have four people up on top of the hill, over up in the Ogden area where they're all sequestered. And I'm the president of IEEE up there. I'm going to use that to reach out to my fellow electrical engineers. I've been building connections with the other STEM organizations set up there, and I'm hoping to really promote that this is possible. So, because one of my courses can count towards my degree, and the language course, my engineering class is always conflicted with, and so I just gave up on trying to pursue it. And but there are opportunities for people to study abroad. I think it's a good experience. And I'm just grateful for the chance to go somewhere I've always learned and learn a language I've been trying to for over a decade now. And that's me.
All right, hello everyone. I'm so excited to be here. I'm so honored. I'm going to Costa Rica in the summer of 2023, and it is one of the greenest, eco-friendly. I'm so excited. I wish it wasn't illegal to bring back some cuttings, but it's all right. I love education. To see the light bulb go off in the eyes of children, or really anyone for that matter, who I'm teaching, tutoring, mentoring. That's what I live to see. It's what I desire to do. And so I'm studying Spanish and sign language, and I'm just excited to be immersed in Spanish, and I will also be going into elementary schools while I'm there. I'm just very excited, the two main things that, have stood out was just the availability and accessibility. not only in my journey here, because I am a non-traditional student, so I'm like, this wasn't too late for me, but being part of OSD and all the things that they have, I mean, the extra mile that they have went to help me succeed, I feel like I have so much more in my artillery just to be able to succeed in life and through my classes, my whole career here and in the future. I'm excited to come back from the trip with so much more and be able to share that, to give others that confidence, that knowledge. I truly believe in learning through experience, through life, and education should be fun, learning should be fun. And so I'm just so excited. I probably said that a million times. I'm so thankful to OSD and then just the work that I could possibly achieve helping them and helping others here in Bowling Green. I want to go to my old high school, Warren Central. I would like to do so much more here on campus. And so, yeah, this is just the beginning. This is just the start, even though I have graduated with at the technical college. I've been here for a little while. Yeah, it's still just the start for me. So, thank you all.
So, in conclusion, I want to emphasize, you've heard four stories of hundreds, right, in our history, and so many are right here on campus right now. I probably had 20 people I reached out to who had class conflicts or work conflicts who couldn't make it. If you have your phone handy, I encourage you to scan the QR code on the screen or maybe write down the short URL at the bottom, because this is where you're going to see a list of every student who's been recognized. And that list of Gilman Scholars is long. We're excited about what's possible for them. And as you've heard glimmers in these reflections, so much of it is peer influence, right? And it's faculty who are on board, it's staff who are on board. We've found great campus partners and ISEC Academy especially, who are really helping us grow this program. So we hope you continue to hear good news from Gilman Scholars moving forward. On the last couple of slides, I've encouraged you, if you love these feel-good stories, follow us on Instagram. I like to say we are a story machine, and we love featuring our students. We'd love to share them with you in ways that can be helpful. And our contact information is on the next slide as well. We encourage you to reach out with any questions or curiosities you have. I would love to partner with anyone who's interested in this work as we move forward. Thank you all so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Lindsay, before you go, congratulations both on the success, but also the way in which you broaden the work of OSD and focused on ensuring every student who has an interest gets served for the institution. And I think I'm really proud of the work outside of the Honors College. I mean, you're physically located within the building, and certainly when I was arriving, the conversation was around, isn't that just for honors students? And I think we've really broken that down, which is terrific. The other question that I have is, compared to other universities in the Commonwealth, how do we compare to them on our Gilman Scholarship rate?
So as I was hyping up the students, I said, they'll never know what you forgot to say, right? That's always my confidence booster. Thanks for this cue, right? then one of the things I do love to share, although humility is really core to me, so it's hard, is that we are truly leading the Commonwealth in this work. It is common, and you'll see this in press releases, that our crop of Gilman Scholars in any cycle is larger than all of the other universities in Kentucky combined. Okay, so we are really seeing that this is making a mark. We're hearing from colleagues in our world, you know, what's going on at WKU? What are you doing differently? And we're really excited to make an impact on the program, which is certainly recognizing that as well. The U.S. Department of State, thank you.
Probably some others in the room thought like I did that Lindsay was one of the students. But at any rate, Mark told us about the value he's adding to the auditor process, and gosh, this is lots of value added to the university experience.
does the scholarship, does that pretty much cover the expenses? Are students still out some money? Does that completely, I mean, I'm sure depending on where they're going.
Yeah, it depends on which program, and there are many elements of that. So a lot of what we're doing in our early conversations with students for their Gilman planning is walking them through that complicated process. So, for example, there is a study abroad program that runs in the summer to Tanzania. It's a very affordable program. A Gilman scholarship can almost pay for all of that, right? Semester-long programs tend to be more expensive. However, we're lucky to be at an institution where the scholarships and the financial aid that help our students afford their campus experience can often apply to their abroad experience. So the financial planning for study abroad is complex in that it depends on who you are, what your financial aid profile is, how expensive the program you're most interested in is, and then which other scholarships we can help you apply for as well. One of the benefits of applying for a Gilman scholarship with our office is that then you walk away with all this growth in your writing, right? You have these strong essays, this strong appeal for an investment in your future goals, and you can take that work to the next scholarship, so that they stack up. That said, we do often have students that still have need at the end of the accounting, and that's where, you know, we're lucky to have campus partners who are ready to jump in and help with that financially where possible, but we're definitely interested in thinking about how we can operationalize that in the future as our program grows and grows and grows.
Definitely, you don't want somebody to be almost there. This is you know, whatever. Yeah. You know, surely there's something that we can work with. You know, I think the best thing is you guys going out and telling everybody about this, you know, because it is going to change.
I want to say I really credit my supervisor, Dr. Craig Cobain, with teaching me that the dollars should never be the reason the students can't do it. And that really is a philosophy in our office and beyond. It comes down to that little bit, we're going to find a way, right? Scholars, we find a way, maybe annoyingly sometimes, to make that dream come true, because you're right, we believe in the transformative experience for our students and for our campus and everyone who benefits.
Dr. Roth, just thank you. Lindsay Pierce-Schulte and Melinda, thanks for your great work. One of the hats that I wear working with Buddy Steen at the Innovation Campus is ways to retain intellectual capital in the region. And for instance, we're working with a company now that you're probably all aware of, Envision, that's moved in. They're going to be bringing engineers from Japan and China over, and they would like to interact with people who can speak Japanese, who might be engineers. They have a Korean-based company, so their batteries are made in Korea. So all I'm saying is that I think we need to do a continued job of having your Gilman graduates and other scholarships come meet with us and have them make the next step of trying to help the community further by staying and being employed, volunteering, whatever it is. So let's have more conversations.
Absolutely. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Very interesting, and thank you all for taking your time to be here. I didn't know about this scholarship, this program, so I'm assuming there may be some what you don't know. Is there an age limit?
No. You need to be a full-time student. You must be eligible from there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Chair Thomas, that's all I have.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, another enlightening presentation. The last committee meeting is the executive committee, and we have only one information item, albeit a very important one, as our reaccreditation looms in the, let's see, how many years?
Two now? Years.
2 years. So glad to have Beth Lavis with us. campus, and I'll turn it over to you and where we are in that process.
So I'll start this morning. There is no more important process that we will go through as an institution than reaccreditation, reaffirmation of that accreditation. It happens once per decade and is crucial for us to be successful in the process. And so during the next couple of years, essentially every part of the institution will be touched by this work. Both collecting information, talking about our accomplishments, being self-critical, and evaluating the work we've done and where we have opportunities to grow. But it is crucial, and one of the reasons I wanted to start the process here with the board is to say we're going to be doing work in this area as well, but that the entire institution will be involved in the process, and it's crucial that we're successful. Fortunately, we have Beth Flavis in the provost's office who will be guiding and leading this effort. We were all together in Atlanta just a few short weeks ago for a conference around how does this all work. And as you might imagine, it is a rare event to have the president, the provost, the EVP, and a host of others all together in the same place. It's a good thing. Nothing bad happened in Atlanta because the entire leadership of the institution was there in one building learning about accreditation. And it's an important process. It's important for the institution. We look forward to 2 years of difficult yet rewarding work ahead. And with that, Beth, turn it over to you.
Okay. Well, thank you for inviting me today. I think I appreciate your time. It is really an important process, not an exciting one like some of the things you see today, but it is so critical to our university. So I appreciate the time. We are part of the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges. That's our institutional accrediting body. President Cavone said, we were just there. And to kick off our orientation for the class of 25. It, we say 25, but we're actually beginning, we actually began a year ago getting prepared for our reaccreditation. And we've been working hard for a while now, and we're going to ramp up at beginning this spring. So we've been accredited by this accrediting agency since 1926 and continuously accredited. So I sure hope we don't break that. A few years ago, July 2020, the U.S. Department of Education changed from regional accreditation, that title, to institutional accreditation. So you may see that now it is the same body that we were before. It's still run by Dr. Belle Whelan. She's been the president for over 17 years and continues to. In terms of organizational structure, it is a peer institution organization, and of course President Cavone is our representative and our CEO to that delegate assembly. That's a board of trustees that are elected from that delegate. These are the Kentucky delegations. There's a new one. To you all in your retreat. Robert Pervine from Murray State is new to that delegation. Reaffirmation is the title that SACCOC uses for this because our accreditation continues. We're not going up for accreditation. We are accredited, but we are reaffirming our accreditation. Basically, as 3 points to it, and so important, the mission of our university is appropriate, that we have resources, programs, and services that are sufficient to accomplish and sustain our mission, and that we maintain clear educational objectives, not only to be appropriate to the degrees that we offer, but also in successful in improving our student achievement, which is an important point that we'll spend a lot of time on. So, here we go. I've been giving a lot of thought to the timeline and how we make sure that we are on track and not spending 18 hours a day right before the actual report is due. So hopefully we'll be together as we begin. Our writing teams are just formed. We'll start training working together on the first rough draft of our off-site compliance certification report. So this spring, we'll begin our writing committees. We'll be working on our narratives. We'll start our internal review of our first draft. And then in fall 23, we start more data collection. There are different kinds of data that we'll collect, but most of it will come in fall 23 and spring 24. So those are important semesters. Then in 24, the spring of 24, so a year from now, we're hoping that our drafts will be pretty close to being finished, except for those things that we won't know yet because we haven't finished our data collection year. And we'll use both internal review teams and external review team to help us with that process. Summer, that's when I'm hoping that I won't be spending 18-hour days editing and putting this report together. They're usually somewhere around 1,000 pages, and so most of it is documentation of evidence. Some part of it is narrative, but most of it's evidence that we'll be collecting. It is due September 8th in 2024. That's our off-site report. Some people call that's like a self-study, but that's our off-site report. We'll have in November will be our off-site review, and we'll receive information about that right after that. So we'll get that report back in November. We will have a chance to report then on follow-ups if we have any flags for that. And then we'll have our on-site, that one's important, our on-site review will be in February 24th and 27th, 2025. And we will call on some of you. The board is also part of that on-site review. We'll be ready to be here and also we'll help you be there for that. After that, so that happens in February of 25. We will, if we have any follow-up questions from the review committee, we'll write that response report. And then the decision by the Board of Trustees from SACSEALC happens in December of 25. So it is a long process, one that we will have a lot of work to do together, but I'm confident that we'll do a great job. We've already spent a year preparing, looking at all of the principles to make sure that we have things in place. The writing teams, we have 8 writing teams. There are 73 different principles as part of this compliance certification report. They're separated into 14 sections. And these are the writing teams that we have in place. I've almost got the team leads completed, not quite, but I'm almost there. And we'll start that process this spring. So I just wanted to put a section in here about your role. The Board of Regents, our board is very important to our reaffirmation and are part of the principles of accreditation for SACSEALC. There are 14 sections, as I said, in the principles of accreditation. Section 4 is all about the board. Beth and I have already gone through a bunch of this stuff, and so we've been, she's been helping me collect evidence of things that you do, like approving policies, things that you do that are implementation of the policies that you have already approved, your bylaws, all those kinds of things are important and part of this process. That was all I had, except that at the very beginning, I went fast because I'm a little nervous, but we did just put up a website, and it's wku.edu/SACSEALC2025. there are some resources there. We're building as we go, but there are some resources there, like the principles of accreditation, if you're interested in looking more about what those look like. We'll give you more of that as time goes on. But there's some more information there, and also the different committees that have been put in place. The leadership team, of course, led by President Cavani, of course, Provost Fisher, Susan Howard, who's on that committee, Rob Hale, who wrote our fifth-year interim report. More than 50% of the fifth-year interim reports are flagged for follow-up reports. Ours was not, so Rob Hale did a great job. But he's also my mentor, too, and so I'm sure he'll be part of this process as well.
And for the board, our work on this will begin at our next meeting. I will bring to you a copy of the university's mission that we will take a look at and discuss to make sure that that is the mission that we all understand that drives everything that we do. And then, again, during the course of the next 2 years, on occasion, we will discuss with you the principles for which you are responsible, that will become clear the relationship between those and the ongoing work of the Board of Regents. So it is also an educational process for the board to know how it all fits together.
Thank you. Questions, comments from anybody? We remember last August when I did a book review and we talked about a lot of the changes in higher education. And one of the things that stood out to me in that book was how relevant accreditation, obviously it's critical that you have it, but did you get any sense in Atlanta that they're changing with the times? There's some feeling that it actually can inhibit innovation, some of the better things that we're doing on campus.
Those of you who know me well know I loathe bureaucracy and bureaucratic roadblocks, and sometimes accreditation can be perceived that way. We are not going to do it that way. We're going to think about how as we leverage this to enhance the institution, to think self-critically and do it in a way that moves us forward. But I think I said in my reaction to the conference in Atlanta, if you need to have a conference to explain something that every institution does every 10 years, maybe it's too complex or overly bureaucratic. That being said, our accreditation is very important to us. We're going to focus all of our attention on it. So that's a little insight into my reaction to
it. That's what I was trying to say. The other question I have, and Bruce is sitting back in the corner, but is there any dovetailing going on with our committee that's doing the strategic plan and this, and how does that work?
I'll tell you, if you read portions of the five-year interim report, and then you put that next to our strategic plan, it reads like this. And so we will endeavor to do the same thing 10-year effort. Some of the feedback that we received at the five-year mark was this is a readable document that obviously is absolutely driven by the strategic planning work your institution's done and continue down that path during the 10th year. So it's actually, strangely enough, it's a pretty interesting read given everything that we do discuss here.
Is there any formal line of communication between Bruce's committee and...
So Bruce has been on the SAC-COC Advisory Committee this last year. Bruce and I worked together quite a bit, especially on one of the principles that he is leading already through the assessment of administrative support units. Bruce and I talk, and we will.
Comments, other questions? Any other business or information, Mr. President?
Yeah,
to take a moment to mention and to honor the legacy of a member of our Hilltopper family who passed away on December 30th this year. That none of you would know, but I think it's important for us to pause and recognize this individual. Gregory McKinney was a Warren Central graduate, and he has attended Kansas State College on a football scholarship in the mid-70s. But he came back to his hometown, Bowling Green, to play for the Hilltoppers in his sophomore year. He was injured and decided to focus on other collegiate pursuits during his time on the Hill. He excelled in many activities here at WKU. He won the 87th Kentucky College University Speech Contest. He was on the forensics team and represented the university in national competitions. He was an officer in the IFC, and Gregory's desire was to help others, and that truly embodied his Hilltopper spirit. He helped create a leadership development program for local high school students, and he also has served as the president of the local NAACP, involved in Big Brothers Big Sisters, mentored hundreds of students as a football and basketball coach both in Kentucky and later in Texas. But what's significant about his life and to this body is that in 1974 and 75, Gregory served as WKU's student regent. And in doing so, he became not only WKU's Black student regent, he was WKU's first Black regent. And our board would not have another African-American regent until Julius Price was appointed in 1981. And so Gregory represents what we want for all of our students. He was an advocate for his fellow Hilltoppers. He was courageous when entering uncharted territory. He was involved in every part of the university, and he represented it and elevated our reputation. He was a trailblazer, and his actions paved the way for future generations of Hilltoppers. And so in this week that we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy, I thought it was fitting that we reflect upon his life as well. And so I want to pass the baton over to Cole, who also has some remarks to make around Gregory McKinney's life and legacy.
Yes, sir. I want to thank President Caboni for his recognition. Mr. McKinney, in recognizing the significant impact that Mr. McKinney made during his time at WKU, I know that many former and current students have found inspiration from Mr. McKinney in the fact that he answered the call to serve even when it was difficult and trailblazed a path for so many today and in the future. When researching more about Mr. McKinney and his time here as a student, I found a feature story about him from the 1974 Talisman. He stated that he thinks his accomplishments so far would mean very little because, quote, people forget too soon, end quote. How cool is it that we are sitting here today, nearly 50 years later, discussing Mr. McKinney and sharing his story? That story is part of the fabric that makes up WKU, and he is a prime example of the spirit makes the master. I hope that we can all continue to share and tell the story of Regent Gregory Lee McKinney for years to come.
Thank you. Any other comments, information? George, always great to have you with us.
Either in person at some point.
People have heard me say more than once, George on Zoom is better than most of us in person.
I don't think so.
It is true. It is true. Well, if there is no other business, we stand adjourned.